Beyond the Ball, fueling your faith and family through sport. Welcome to the Beyond the Ball podcast with Coach Eric Klump and Coach Justin Gersten.
Hey, Hoopheads, we appreciate you listening to this episode of Beyond the Ball. Be sure to check out these other coaching-focused podcasts on the Hoopheads Podcast Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and Courtside Culture. Plus our NBA-focused podcasts, Cavaliers Central, 305 Culture, Spanning the Spurs, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Knuck If You Buck, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, and At the Buzzer. Oh, and don't forget to check out our flagship, the Hoopheads podcast, hosted by me, Mike Klinzing, and my co-host, Jason Sunkel, featuring the best minds in the game, from grassroots to the NBA.
All right, guys, back to the Beyond the Ball podcast. Coach Eric Klump and myself, Coach Justin Gerstung. Coach Eric Klump, how we doing?
Very well. I mean, we got the NCAA tournament going on in the background as we film this. It's been exciting. Chicago, Loyola Chicago on another little run here. And you got to respect what they were doing in that game. They were just breaking Illinois down. And I watched the Abilene Christian game last night. Man, they brought it. It was just exciting. It's an exciting time to be a basketball coach. You're just a fan and you're a learner. So it's great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Other than the beatdown that you gave us a couple of days ago.
Well, we had to return the favor.
You had to return the favor, absolutely. But other than getting over that, we normally take a trip up north to the Adirondack Mountains for a little guy weekend for the first tournament weekend that's always going on in March. It's kind of weird having basketball for ourselves while the tournament, NCAA tournament is on because usually our season is finished up, so it's kind of overload of basketball right now, sensory overload. I got basketball everywhere, but it's great. I mean, I love it as a basketball junkie. That's what you are constantly seeking out. But yeah, it's good. I mean, life is good. Sectionals this week for us. We're going to have some coaches on this podcast to just talk about the season and how it went, which I think went really well considering, you know, all the different stuff we had to deal with. But looking forward to getting a couple more competitive games in, and we should be in good shape.
It was quite the season. You know, you think back at, you were sitting on this podcast praying that we would just get the opportunity. And then a lot of the school districts had to get their plans together within a weekend. And, you know, for how it shaked out, it just couldn't have been better for many districts here, the way that they proceeded, the way that they kept the kids' safety as the number one concern. And many teams were able to get, you know, 14, almost 17, 20 games in such a little time.
Yeah, it was definitely a chaotic schedule. I'm sure the guys, they'll come on tonight, we'll talk about that as well. But I agree. I mean, just the transition maybe to our coaching nuggets that we always like to give. That was our constant theme all year of keeping it simple, not getting too stressed out about maybe wins and losses, considering, you know, that we have very little practice time to prep. These kids have not really been in the gym at all for 12 months, you know, and now we throw them back onto the court. So, you know, just keeping that perspective has been really well done by all the coaches that we've seen in our league. And we've also played some non-league games as well and watched some games via the live stream on YouTube or whatever, you know, media platform we could access. The coaches just seem to do a really good job of keeping the kids playing, motivated. There's only been a couple of instances I saw where, you know, the basketball was terrible. Someone, the refs that we talked to the other night, was just commenting out for the kids about how well that they played considering, you know, the lack of practice time and the quality of the basketball. So just coaches, want to celebrate them and just tell them how proud we are that they got these games in for their kids. And, you know, it didn't go perfectly for all districts and in all teams, but I would say for the most part, what we had was better than nothing for sure.
100%.
What about you? Want to add a little coaching nugget and then we'll do some moral enlightenment, and then we'll get to some guys and talk some hoops.
Excellent. I'm just going to kind of piggyback off yours. And, you know, we had to keep it super simple this year and just throw our fastball and keep working on our best pitches, you know, a little baseball analogy, but also making sure that every day we held them to a championship standard. And when you can get your seniors or your best player to do that, you have an advantage on teams that don't. So if you can have, you know, your better players and everybody buying into that championship standard, and then just them being holding each other accountable for that, it's just a atmosphere that you want to create, that culture of championship standard.
And I think that's really hard, right? You got to have some special leaders to do that. And this time, especially when, you know, so many other sports are happening, especially now, for example, my team, you know, their football practice starts tomorrow. Our sectional week starts tomorrow, and trying to keep them locked in and engaged this entire time while other kids are maybe not doing their schoolwork or, you know, maybe doing something else that might be a distraction to them. Having that leadership is so crucial. So crucial. So what do you think? Have some enlightenment for us?
Yeah, sure. Sitting in church today, and we were talking about the importance of John 15:5, that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just, fixing your eyes on the Lord, fixing your eyes on his word, and just know that he has this wonderful plan for us. And, ask and you shall receive. And the more you reach out towards him, the more he will be right next to your side.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I've read a couple of books in the past about the idea of the stem or the trunk and the branches. I think that's so crucial. You know, this weekend, as we were away up north, had a chance to do some extra reading, some extra journaling. And I think one of the things I love about doing that is just the fact that it reconnects you to the word constantly. And it's a reflection point that allows me to just get myself grounded every single day. And when you ground yourself in those basic beliefs and those basic values and principles, I think everything else that stems out of that is just so valuable.
And so we can powerful. Get stressed out at times and worrying about work and coaching and worrying about our athletes. And we just got to know that really serving them is the joy that he wants, that you're reaching out with that outward approach makes all the difference in the world, just like he would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, short intro tonight or on this episode, I think, as we get launched in here into championship week here in Western New York, Section 6 basketball. We got a couple of coaches on tonight, one from the public school end and one from the private school end. So just kind of coach going to recap the season, see how everybody handled things, and get some insights from them and see what this week holds. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, sounds good. We're going to break real quick and then we'll come back.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
All right, guys, we're back with Beyond the Ball podcast. We're joined tonight by head coaches Chris Kenzie from Amherst High School and Gabe Michael from St. Joe's, both two Western New York powerhouses here on the local 716 scene. Guys, welcome to the podcast. Eric, you want to get us started?
Sure. Guys, again, thanks for coming on the Beyond the Ball podcast, you know, to get you guys on as two coaches that have been very, very successful. You know, Gabe with Williamsville South there for a little run and now moves over to St. Joe's, and then Chris with Amherst High School. I mean, every time that, you know, I'm reading the recaps, I'm looking forward to watching those, your teams playing up at Buff State or for the Monsignor Martin, the Manhattan Cup. I just wanted to ask Gabe, you know, one of the big reasons for this pod was we had to have something to do during COVID. And I remember, like, when it first hit, you were one of the coaches that, you know, really got hit with the COVID and was one of the first ones I knew in this area. So look, can you just tell us about that bout?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, sorry I lost my voice trying to scream through my mask yesterday at the game, but it's you know, that's tough to do. But no, it was scary. I was kind of reminiscing about it. You know, at this time last year, I was just going into the hospital. The world felt like a totally different place, as you guys know. Everything, you couldn't stop watching the news. Everything was scary. We didn't know much about what was going on. For me, obviously, it was. I'm really happy. I was really well taken care of at Sister's Hospital and then St. Joseph's Hospital, and you know, I can't thank those people enough. But it was scary. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna say I was, you know, didn't worry and wasn't scared the whole time. It was real lonely because you couldn't talk to anybody except for on your phone. You couldn't see anybody, and you know, I couldn't imagine being a year later and having gone through a season and all that. So it really. I guess the best way to put it is it put things in perspective, and it was a scary time, but the one thing that came from it was the support I got from a ton from the local basketball community and just a lot of friends and family that I maybe reconnected with because of it.
Awesome. And, you know, a year later, you sit here with your squad, and we found out yesterday that you are, for the first time since 2008, Manhattan Cup champions, which is certainly a big deal here in Western New York. So just tell us a little bit about your journey with your team this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I got to commend Chris, actually, because when I saw, like, he was pushing hard on the lawsuit and stuff, and those things obviously mattered big time. To get the season and you know, Coach Kenzie, I was following that. He did a great job with that stuff. I actually didn't participate as much in that because I think my bout with COVID, I didn't want to like offend people, if that makes sense. You know I really wanted to play, but I think some other people did a great job, and I really am, you know, I really, really thank them for that, because I don't think we would have had a season otherwise. But, we worked really hard in the off season, not knowing if there's going to be a season. Our guys came in three guys at a time, one guy at a hoop, just doing, you know, there's only so much you can get done doing shooting drills by themselves and, you know, working on pivots with no coach and no bag, no one pushing you. And you could really tell that, they really had a great focus through that time, and no one was missing workouts. They were just happy to be in the gym. They had their masks on the whole time, all that stuff. One basketball at a hoop, one guy, no coaches. And it was really an interesting time. And you had to be really creative to keep it interesting. But the second we got that call that the season was going, it's been pretty much smooth sailing for this group. We played a game every other day for 27 days. Exactly. You know, no two in a row, no days off between. You know, we were tired once the regular season ended, but we had a great season. We, you know, guys really picked it up. As you guys know, it's really different this year. You know, I kind of had what I thought was a system in place for us, and we scrapped the whole thing. We really didn't run any plays this year. We just tried to play fast and pace and space, and it was really fun. It was a really fun way to play, and I think it worked for this season. And, you know, we were lucky enough to beat a really good Tymon team yesterday who's got some really fantastic players. And I believe we're the first team ever to win a Manhattan Cup on our home court, which is a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's super cool. Chris, I think Gabe touched on a little bit, and I would love for you to kind of expand. Trying to get this season going, you did kind of take the social media a little bit and spearhead a charge to get us playing. Can you just talk about that a little bit and how that all came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you guys hear me right now?
Oh, yeah, you're good, Coach.
All right. So I have a colleague in my work whose name is Dave Manzelli. He's a chemistry teacher at Amherst. He's also a the defense coordinator at Lancaster. And him and I were bouncing ideas off all fall and just talking about, is it going to happen? How can we make it happen? It seemed like we came to a standstill. And like you talked about the social media part, we tried to do a couple things, tagging Governor Cuomo, NISPA, just trying to see what we needed to do to give it a shot. And once again, as Gabe alluded to when he went through it, COVID's obviously very real. We wanted to make sure it was safe, obviously for the kids moving forward. And both my parents had it, my in-laws had it. So I know the effect that it has. But at the same time, we wanted to see, okay, if it's truly not safe, like what is the data? What is the science behind it? Because as we saw, many neighboring states and states all over the U.S. Were participating. I mean, I have cousins in New Orleans, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and all of them were playing their sports, even football. So Dave took the bull by the horns and talked to a lawyer and tried to figure out what could we do. And we got a list of over 500 referees, coaches, parents, players of a petition to move things forward. And we just wanted to know why, because basketball specifically back in the summer was originally a moderate sport. And it got, I guess, downgraded would probably be the best way to put it, as a high risk. And we wanted to know, well, why is that? Why are these sports labeled as high risk, moderate, and so on, when all of their states or majority of their states were at least trying it? So that went forward. We put a name on the lawsuit, and it's actually being filed, I believe, this week to try to remove that name of, and obviously basketball for us and for Monsignor Martin, it finished last week, but for us, we're done on Friday. Some people are done on Saturday, but it'll help, I think, with football. Because they're also looking at the 10-day pause, and because with football, as we know, like we have basketball teams at most 15 guys. Like football teams are generally 30, 45 guys. So obviously, the more people that are around, the greater the chance of pass or and passing from one person to the next. So that's really the next step. And like I said, we want to know if it. Give it a shot. Is it safe or is it not safe? If it's not safe, why is that the case? Because once again, number one, we wanted the kids to be not fear moving forward, but we wanted to give the kids a shot because of how much they've already lost.
Right. Yeah, that's. I appreciate you doing that. I know I jumped on that as well, and I think in terms of how, and this can go maybe go to Gabe or Chris. In terms of finally getting it, however it ended up getting here, and yes, like you both have said, we don't want to be insensitive to those people that got sick, were sick, or lost somebody, but I think the last 2 months have been a really powerful indicator of what sports can do for our athletes and what kind of place it can put them mentally. So, Gabe, why don't we start with you if you're available here? And just tell me how you approached the season. How do you think it went with your team? I know you just referenced talking about playing fast and like scrapping your system a little bit. How do you think it went for your team in general?
I think it was great. I think the kids had the time of their lives. I mean, I've never seen a team want to practice more than this group did. And I think a lot of it had to do with it's just something different, something fun for them to do, and they can be together in the gym. I mean, we had no team meals, none of that typical stuff you do, and it was just practicing games, and I think it was great. And one of the things we talk to them all the time about is, how do you handle unexpected adversity? How do you handle when things don't go well? And I think they really did a good job with nothing bothered them, So what? We couldn't practice this day, or we couldn't get in the gym, or whatever happened, nothing bothered this group. And I think that's a great life lesson for them. So I think that's the one thing I'll take away from this, is how they handled just all the crazy things that went along with the season. It didn't faze them. It didn't bother them. They were just happy to be in the gym. And that's what we talked about all the time.
Yeah, that's certainly one thing that was going through my mind when you look at the students embracing these opportunities. Chris, do you think that it opened up these young athletes' minds and eyes to the gratitude of life, and the old saying of you don't know really what you have until it's gone, and just to relish these moments. Do you think that's one thing that COVID allowed our young athletes to see?
Well, 100%. I know all of us are dedicated. We're not just one season sports. Our sport coaches here, and we do work all year long. I know, obviously, Eric, you have a great program at Newfane. Justin, you at Akron as well, and obviously Gabe at St. Joe's. And I think because we had weekly Zoom meetings, which with all of our guys, just, you know, well, coach, when can we get in the gym? Because normally we're in there 3 days a week in the summer. We're in there like twice a week in the spring, twice a week in the fall. And, we first of all, it's got to be safe. And before we can move forward, we got to make sure that is the case. And, but 100%, we were lucky enough to be able to do a couple weeks of workouts in the fall before the whole yellow orange shutdown. And it was, our guys were there and I didn't have to say anything. It was, okay, everybody has their own ball. We have our temperature checks. We have to clean the ball everybody has to have their own ball. We can't pass right now. And the kids in the fall did a very good job of really being disciplined and strict to those rules. And then moving forward to the season, like we talked about, just, you know, guys, if we're given this opportunity, it would be very lucky to get this, and we'll take it. We'll run with it. And our guys did that. Like Gabe said, kids wanted to practice. This year, it was very infrequent where we had guys kind of just going through the motions, and they were just trying to make the most of that situation. And we stressed, you know, like Gabe said, with adversity is going to be, you're going to be faced with your entire life. And how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to make excuses? Or are you going to try to be like a half full person, which is the way that we took and looked at it. And I think that they realized that, I mean, even in last spring, this fall, there were beautiful days, but there were some baskets that were down. You couldn't even shoot outside. So I think it really put things in perspective where you never know when someone's going to be taken from you, whether it's a life, whether it's a limb, whether it's just basketball, something you just enjoy doing. And our guys definitely, and it was definitely exhausting at times, like we said, daily temperature checks, washing the ball after like every drill, sanitizing every time we subbed out. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. And just seeing these kids being able to run around, laugh, smile, get a little upset, and just have those emotions that basketball gives you, they definitely were heightened this year. And 100%, though, the kids definitely realize they can't take things for granted.
Coach, so this appreciation for, you know, the play and for getting after it. One of the things that we love on social media, and you and a couple other schools do this too, and Gabe, we'll come to you next about ways to celebrate your athletes. We love like the charge chain and the hard hat award. Where did those things come from? And, you know, who's the brains behind that? Is it your dad? Because I know it's a family fair over there at Amherst now.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. First of all, my father is my father, he's a mentor of mine. I consider him one of my best friends. I had the opportunity, obviously, to play for him, coach with him, coach against him, and now he's coaching with me. The hard hat, the blue collar award, we stole that from Nate Oates when he was at UB. And Brandon Woods is a good friend of mine from Winslow. He went to Winslow South, but he's coaching now at Sweet Home. He brought it up, and I'm like, you know what? That's a great idea. And I know some hockey teams do it too. And it's just another way to get. It might not be the person that scores the most, but we track diving on the floor for loose balls, deflections, rebounds, just some of the work that doesn't get noted, just so we can kind of highlight those things, because as we know, like those are huge 50-50 plays and effort things that make the difference in games. The charge chain was, we've always like obviously tracked charges and pushed it with kids. our wrestling team does that. They have a chain, and they took it from Miami with the whole the turnover chain. I'm like, you know what? That's kind of cool. So we figured that would be a good thing. And so we give the kids that they take a charge. They get a picture obviously taken with it. They get a Gatorade. And like we have a kid this year right now, Bo Hobiel, who's taken 16 charges so far in 17. I think 17 in 17 games. And our we had a our all-time leader in charges in a season is Jonah Heim, who's a he's actually playing for now, I think, the Rangers for Major League Baseball. And so Bo, he's on pace to break that record. We had two games ago. It's funny the little things that kids that motivate them. Two games ago, we had 10 charge attempts. Like, I've never had 10 charge attempts in a season, but it's just a little bit different way to get those kids that might not score a lot noticed. And then we try to do, because I'm not big on obviously points are important, but that's not the only thing. And I think sometimes kids take points as, well, if I don't score, that doesn't mean it means I didn't matter in the game. So we try to do some, like, we call them like our Amherst, like NBA 2K awards. And we'll just make up like names like glass cleaner, dime dropper, Mr. The Closer, like just to try to, like, the kids get a kick out of it. And, but at the same time, I think it's, we're trying to highlight not just the point, just everything else.
It probably leads to better team, like, culture too, right? Just having fun with the game a little bit, I would imagine.
Oh, 100%. It's, at the end of the game, like, sometimes kids are like, well, how many points did I have? So kids don't even ask that anymore. They know that's not the question to ask. I'm like, I'll tell you how many assists, how many rebounds, but they don't even ask about points. They have, coach, did I get my 10 rebounds? Did I get my 6 assists? And it's those type of questions I love, because it's obviously they realize that those things matter in the game.
Yeah, 100%. I think during this COVID time, one of the things that we have really tried to stress is just being loose with each other and having fun with the experience. So my guys, maybe not post game, but like pregame, have like picked like a theme day for every game. So like they dress up, like one day was pajama day, like, you know, just something to keep them loose and keep them engaged, I think is an awesome, awesome thing. Coach Puppy, what? Transition for us, coach?
Yeah, so like Gabe mentioned that he just kind of scrapped his system. I want to know what that was like as a coach, like if he just went came home one day and just said, you know what, I'm just going to let him loose. Or, I mean, I would have a lot of difficulty doing that. So I wanted to ask him what kind of a decision, how he came to that.
So last year we lost to Canisius in the Manhattan Cup Finals. And ironically, just like, you know, 50% of the teams in Buffalo were running the John Beilein two-guard stuff. You know, he's kind of the godfather of Buffalo the last couple of years. And Canisius has been doing that since maybe Kyle's third or fourth year, Coach Kyle Husband, and they just did it better than us. And so I said, you know, we're banging our head against the wall trying to beat a team that's doing something better than we do it. So we kind of made the decision to start playing fast and pressing the whole game. And last year in the locker room at Canisius College when we had lost to them. But with COVID, we really scrapped it. I mean, we really got rid of it. We were luckily, we have one of our assistants, Cooper Calzanetti, was an assistant at Iona. And they had that great run of MAC championships playing that way. And so he really helped us kind of with what they were doing and how simple. They just played fast and got their best players in ball screens and spaced the court. And, you know, we tried to copy it, and we started scoring 80 points a game for about the first 10, 12 games this year, and realized, hey, we can really teach defense at a different level here. And as long as we're spacing the court and guys are sharing the ball, and, you know, you're still going to teach, you know, what to do when a guy drives and how to play off every screen coverage and all those things. But I found that we had a lot more time in practice, and this year I think that mattered just a little bit. Yeah, so was it nerve-wracking? Of course. You know what you know, and you do what you do, but it was exciting too. I thought it was a fun way to play.
So, Gabe, you mentioned that the two guard with the John Beilein. It was interesting. My assistant said yesterday almost the same thing about the continuous ball screen offense. Just you see so many teams doing it now. What do you think is like the next thing that's going to sprinkle down from maybe the college ranks or the European style to the high school?
Yeah, I think the kids now, at least I find my kids, watch the NBA very religiously. And I was talking to some guys, some trainers who are saying they're now mixing in, you know, that next level one-on-one James Harden type game into the systems, which is, you know, a scary thing. Kids, you know, the Patton from Tymon was the best I've seen in high school at getting fouled on purpose. You know, he's wailing his arms, and they were fouls. They're legit fouls. And, you know, I think kids are just getting better at playing one-on-one, and we're all going to have to adjust to that because they're really good at getting by people and getting in the lane whenever they want. So for us, it worked. And I think the next thing you'll see is I think teams will go back to denying a little bit more. This is a defensive answer, but that's kind of one thing we did as well. We stopped playing pack line and we got into passing lanes, old school style. And I think you'll see more of that because if you can keep teams away from the basket, it's a lot easier to keep them out of the lane. So I think that'll be the answer to that.
Yeah, Coach Kenzie, I'm going to go with the same question to you. Have you modified what you do this year as well? Is there anything new that you have sprinkled in, or have you kind of just kept the same philosophy because it's what the kids know?
We kept a lot of our same principles, but kind of going off what Gabe said, I think that like basketball right now is, and all the kids watching the NBA, and it's talented, and I actually like watching James Harden now with the Nets. I was not a fan with the Rockets, but with our specific, obviously the ball screen is huge at all levels. It's extremely effective. What we try to do, we kept very similar to what we did, but just less in our playbook. We have like our base motion that has a couple rules that no. So if we pass this, then this happens. If we do this, and we give these kids the rules in the beginning and kind of very rigid and to start. But then from there, we kind of let them make the choice. So like my guards, like for example, like we pass the wing, like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to cut through? Are we going to go two way? And I kind of let them make that decision on their own. But once again, just a couple rules. We have a couple various sets that have various screens that lead all the way back into our like base motion. So nothing that's too difficult for them to grasp, but just a different look to get us into like our base offense. So I would just say the biggest thing is just less kind of sets and just taking like four or five and make sure we master those.
Yeah, it's a great approach. For sure, you know, especially like Gabe said, getting the ball into your playmaker's hands and just letting them play, you know. So, Gabe, I got a mostly in this pod, we try to celebrate coaches and athletes, and because Justin and I were busy, and I'm sure you guys were preparing for the teams that you were going to face. I wasn't really able to, you know, watch the outside scene as much as I usually do. So tell us about some of the players that made a big difference in MMA this year.
Yeah, Monsignor Martin was loaded with talent this year. Obviously, we just played time, and they have two great guards, Goodlock and Patton. Patton won Player of the Year in our league. He's just incredible at getting to the basket, being crafty once he's there. You know, there's no good answer for him. He can pull up from 15. He can pull up from 25. He's just a great player. Scores it at all levels. And then, you know, St. Francis had a really, really good player in Peyton Consiglia. We had a lot of trouble with him. He shoots it really well. He's a Division I baseball player, actually. Canisius had a couple really, really great players. Declan Ryan, big fella. You know, he's like an old school big guy, back to the basket. No one knows how to guard that anymore. So he's just tough. He backs you down. He can make hook shots. He's making 10-footers. You know, Max Dowling, who's been there for a long time, I have a great respect for him. He's also a Division I football player, but just plays as hard as anyone. gets up and down, just dirty, plays dirty. And then, you know, obviously from our team, we had some great players. Jaden Slaughter led us in scoring. He's just another kid who's really crafty, can score from any angle. And then you had Justin Glover, our point guard. He's now a junior, but he's been starting since freshman year. Just runs the team. We go as he goes. If you guys know how that is. If he has energy, we have energy. If he's happy, we're happy. The whole team just follows his lead. And then, you know, Josh Haskell, I think, is the best shooter I've coached at any level. You know, he walks in the gym and he can fire it from anywhere. And he's just really grown as a player. And then we had a couple guys take huge steps this year, like Solomon Jackson, who's a junior, and Charlie Carlin, a senior. So it was really so much talent. I know I got to talk about my guys more. Sorry for everyone else, but you know, really, so much talent. It's really been a fun year. And we every night you were playing against some high end talent. And you know, that's really the beauty of the area right now, is there's so much talent. It's really fun. And like I said, Tymon, I played a lot of teams. Tymon's backcourt is as good as I've seen in this area. Those two guys are just really, really tough. And we were very nervous about that game going in, how you guard them. And they had 25 and 29. So I don't know that we did the best job, but we were able to find a way to win.
And that's half the battle too, Coach. I think Coach Kenzie, we'll come to you next. I think I can't emphasize Coach Klump's point enough about, with this shortened season, as Gabe said earlier too, like playing every other day, it seemed like for, you know, 5 weeks, is just insane, the amount of time to prep for games and coach those games. So in ECIC, specifically your division, how did it go this year? Who were some of the teams that really showed out in your division?
So our division, I felt, was extremely competitive. Hamburg ended up winning it with a record of 10-2. They had a great makeup of they had some good size. They also added Benjamin Bill, who was a 6'7". I don't know, but he's a thick kid inside. They also had a kid, my last name is Chafee, who's going as a lefty pitcher. He's going to Albany. And they just had a really good, just solid, move the ball well, unselfish group. Moving on, Waynesville South, they were led by Jeremy Matute and Ethan Darch. And Coach Mike Trzbinski, he gets the absolute most out of his kids. They pushed everybody. They beat us once. Brandon Woods at Sweet Home. They had a D.R. Fleming. They also had, I'm trying to remember all these names right now offhand. Also, Terrell Laws, a very good football player too, very good athlete. Starpoint had coached by Gil Licata, and Dexter Brooks was their best player. They also had a kid who made over 50 threes, and Sam Walters. Winslow East, obviously led by Max Schneider, who got a ton of energy. They also have a Division I Bob Clemson commit in Joe Mack. And also Yusuf Hashmi is a very good defender for them. West Seneca East is and Dan Lutman, once again, does a great job with that group. And they're led by Jaden Harrison, who's only a freshman. I think he's if you see this kid play, you would never think he is a freshman. And then getting to our group, I mean, we lost 9 seniors, but we're led with 1 returning starter, who is Nick Moore, is a sophomore for us. We have a shooter in Jeffrey Cook, who is Gabe was talking about Josh Haskell, who's a very good shooter. I think Jeff is right up there with any shooter in Western New York. And we have Gary Johnson, who's like a 6'8", 6'9". He's got a Division I written all over him with ability. He can play inside. He can play out. And then we have just a bunch of guys that that just want to like sacrifice for each other. So we end up finishing second behind Hamburg. But at any given night, anybody could beat anybody. I thought it was definitely one of the more competitive leagues, top to bottom, in all of Western New York. But, yeah, that's basically our division in a nutshell.
So as sectionals come up here, and Gabe just went through it last week, Chris, is it going to be a different approach knowing that you have one or two practices in between each and every game? How do you think you're going to approach this second season here?
Well, it's funny. You guys were talking about this before and just playing like every other night. I think it's and my kids are like, well, coach, imagine if we did this all year. We'd have like an NBA schedule. I'm like, yeah, that would be great. However, for me,
yeah,
like prepping, and you guys know watching film, I try to watch at least three teams against the team that we're about to play and the hours that go into it. And then I'll try, like, for example, we play Louport tomorrow, and I'll try to, like, watch the potential teams that we could play at least one game just so I can have a little bit of a head start on it. But it's definitely a rapid pace. It's definitely very exhausting, but it as a coach, it helps pacify me. If I can watch somebody on film and figure out, you know, I think this will work both offensively and defensively, and then I get to kind of practice it one day and then move on to the game, I think that helps with everything. As much work as it is, as tiring as it is, I actually think it's nice. It's like a perfect world for kids.
Yeah.
For coaches,
kids love it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, one practice in a game. As a coach, obviously, we'd like to have, like you said, 2 days. It's coming. It's going to go quick. It's going to be done in 5 days. Hopefully, if we make it to the sectional final, our bracket's definitely very, very competitive. But I definitely would do it all over again if this is what we needed to do to get the kids to be able to play.
With the COVID situation in New York, do you think that they're going to look at the seasons next year and change some things, like maybe have us start after Thanksgiving, have spring sports start after the spring break? Do you think that there's any chance that happens?
You know, Eric, were you and I talking about this when we played?
I think so.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking with somebody else the other day about it. I think it would be great. I think you lose some kids to fall sports, specifically football right now, because of how early they do start. So I think if the state looks at it, and like you said, it was successful. So maybe start a week before school for that. And then maybe basketball, maybe start that after Thanksgiving, because we know winter sport, it's tough. Like, kids are going through Thanksgiving. They're going through the Christmas and the winter holiday. And then they're going through
February break.
So I think that if they did that, I think it would help alleviate some of the stress on families, and which is another thing I think for me, like, it definitely put things in perspective for me. Just, I got to spend so much time with my family, and but I think the state should look at it. I mean, if you're playing like baseball in Western New York, I don't think there's any reason why you need to start in the first week of March unless you have turf. And not everybody has it, so I think it would be great for the state to look at that and give a little bit more space in between and start a little bit later. I think you would get more kids playing multiple sports as well.
Gabe, what's your take on that? I know in the Catholic school side of things, you guys approach things a little differently. Any thoughts on changing up the schedule?
Yeah, I think one thing. They really are big on making sure, Chris kind of alluded to it, that everyone, the kids can play whatever sports they want to at the Catholic schools that I've been at. And I think, again, I think anything that works for the kids works for me at this point. I think it needs to work for anything. I was kind of jealous of the attitude like Coach McDonald has with his team, where they have those make it work shirts. I don't know if you guys have seen those, but and Justin, you've worked his camps. You know, that's his camp motto. And I was jealous when I saw those shirts, and that's just how I kind of look at all that stuff. We'll just make it work. Whatever happens, it's fine. I've been using that some, like I said, I'm jealous of Coach Matt coming up with the shirt first, but just make it work. That's kind of our motto with everything. Just make sure. Whenever they tell us we can play, we'll be ready and we won't complain about it. We'll be happy about it. And if there's a little later season, I'll be psyched about it. And if it's earlier, I'll be psyched about it. And whatever it is, I'll just be happy about it.
Yeah, you kind of answered the question I was going to ask Gabe. What was he thinking, spring-wise or summer-wise, and how things are going to be different this summer, if he thought they're going to be different at all. So he kind of answered that.
Yeah, so what do you, Coach Michael, Gabe, what do you think about Damon's run this year, having worked with Coach Mack?
I couldn't be more excited for him. I know I know the effort and work he puts into it. You know, he's a basketball lifer. We all want to say it, but that's a true basketball lifer. Couldn't happen to a better person. We all know that. You know, he's kind of become the, maybe taken the over for John Beilein as the godfather of Buffalo area basketball now. And, you know, we all have part of Coach Mack in our systems, I guarantee it, whether it's something we stole from practice or watching his team play or just something he said, we all take something from him. So I think we should all be big Damon fans because we all owe him something in this area for sure.
Yeah, not only that, but I keep getting my email blown up by his Easter break basketball clip. That's kind of...
he's also the king of camp. There's no doubt about that.
He is definitely working that. All right, so this has been a lot of fun, guys. We appreciate it. Let's end on this note, since in Clumpy, we haven't done this in a while, but we have some New York guys
let's hear this.
So I'm assuming both of you guys are chicken wing guys.
Yes.
You like to eat, Chris, chicken wings? Yeah, I know you're a super health guy, but...
I'll eat chicken wings any day of the week.
All right, so if you've listened, I don't know how much you've listened, you don't even have to share. We're just happy that you've listened once or twice. What do we eat here, flats or the drums? Gabe, why don't you go first?
You know, again, I'm going to stick with the make it work. Whoever I'm with, if I'm with somebody, I'm going to take the opposite and be happy about it. You know, I remember you guys had Burke on. He was really quick to answer. And I think I've gone out to eat with Burke about 200 times. And I was like, I've never seen him just eat one or the other. So, but, you know, whatever it is, I'll make it work and be very happy that I'm eating chicken wings.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Chris, what about you? Any preference?
Yeah, so, like, usually if I'm in one sitting, I'll try to eat, like, I don't know, around like 8 to 10, and I'm a drumstick guy, but I always have to have one like flat, and it's I don't know why, just maybe try to be fair, I guess, but I'm definitely like a drumstick type guy, and love them, like them crispy, but most I like most flavors though too.
Yeah, Coach, that's Kenzie, awesome. Where's your go-to spot?
Let's see. So if I'm from Cheektowaga, so there's a lot of good spots there, but my favorite one in Cheektowaga is, the 33 on Genesee. They have a very good, I like the Barbell, and I like their, what's it called? I think there's garlic parm there. And then, you know what? My favorite pizzeria one is, Picasso's, and I like the Sicilian bake. If you haven't had that, if you like them crispy with like a little bit of Italian type spice, they're incredible.
Nice. Coach Gabe, what about you? You got a favorite spot or two?
Disappointed because now I'm hungry, but
there's games on the rest of the night. You can order some up.
I appreciate that. You know, I've never tried Picasso, so Coach Kenzie, I appreciate that. I'll give that a look. But, you know, now that I'm at St. Joe's, we go to Curry's a lot after games, and I really have been enjoying their wings. We had some yesterday after the game, and that's been a great spot. You know, my original is Bob and John's on Hurdle. That's kind of what I grew up on. I'm always loyal to them. So I give those to my take right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Do I have to ask if you eat blue cheese or ranch?
No, you don't.
Chris?
Blue cheese, without a doubt. I can drink it.
Okay. That's good to know. We've had some guys on.
Coach, how are the players going to respect them if they answer ranch? They're just not going to answer ranch.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. Even if they're lying to us, we'll take it. We don't want them to lose credibility. I trust them, though. I trust them with this question. Buffalo guys, you gotta go with the ranch for sure. Well, hey, guys, listen. We got some hoops on as we're taping this. You guys can go watch some hoops, be with the family. We appreciate you guys coming on so much. This was a lot of fun for us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for having me, for sure.
Hey, good luck this week.
Yeah, Kenzie, good luck. This one's going to air on Thursday, so hopefully it'll give you some mojo for Friday night, Kenzie.
Got to get there first. Got to take over tomorrow and first step.
Yeah, right. Clump and I are in the same boat. We're in the same bracket. The only chance we'll play each other again for the tiebreaker is on Friday. So we'll see what happens.
Well, let's hope you guys get that. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you, absolutely. You too. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond the Ball podcast with Coach Eric Klump and Coach Justin Gersten.